Blog Talk Radio.
You're on the air.
Good evening. This is We Talk Productions, one of the few Black-owned radio stations, and you're live with the best mind in Black America, Meeshawn Williams, and this is the Cutting Edge Show. This evening, my guest is Robin LaToya, proprietor, senior credit repair expert at Social Coaching. Robin studied fine arts at Indiana University Northwest. Welcome to my show.
Thank you for having me.
And you are welcome. Now, Robin, how do you fix credit?
That's a fun loaded question. So, yeah, really, it's always been, I want to say, a passion of mine to do something great for others. And what better way to give back, you know what I mean, than to do something that can completely change a life. So when in order to fix someone's credit, my version is let's repair, rebuild, and also educate along the way. So whatever has taken you, you know, to this moment where you have some issues with your credit, I want to make sure that we kind of dig into that along with repairing, again, so we can make sure that, you know, whatever's going on doesn't happen again. In terms of, you know, what does it take to truly, repair credit, first I want to take a look at the credit reports to see exactly what's going on, to see what type of items you have listed on your reports and what are the items that are really holding those scores down. I look for things that are inconsistent, items that don't match. Once items are maybe, you know, sent to collections and all those type of things, just want to make sure that items are reporting correctly. And truth be told, I've been in business for quite a few years now, and I've never seen a perfect report. Like, I've never seen a report that doesn't have any type of errors. So for that reason alone, whatever your scores are, they can always be higher. You know, unless, of course, you're at 850. So, you know, but for most folks, there are some type of issues on their report that definitely need to be addressed.
Okay. And how are credit scores determined?
Credit scores are basically determined in five different components. So we have our utilization, which is 30%. Utilization is basically speaking of revolving debt. So how much debt you're carrying. You have 35%, which is payment history. That is like your on-time payments. And also if you have any collections, that falls under that payment history category. Length of history is 15%. How long you've actually had, had debt, so to speak. Mm-hmm. So the longer you've had this, the higher your scores. You've got 10%, which is a mixture of credit. So, you know, do you have an auto loan along with credit cards, mortgage, all of those things kind of encompass the mixture. And then lastly, you've got 10%, which is new credit, and those are your inquiries. So each time you go and apply for credit, you will see that inquiry listed, which is considered a hard increase. But, yeah, those that company would be listed on your reports as well. So those are the five components that make up our credit scores. And I always like to say that we are in control of our credit, and I say that because 65% alone is what we truly have control over, and that would be the payment history and the utilization. So as long as you make an on-time payment and you keep those balances on credit cards nice and low, well below 30%, your scores are going to be much higher just based off those two factors alone. So I'm telling you, I feel like I'm preaching that all day, every day. Like, pay your cards down, pay them on time, just put them on auto, you know. So if you do that, it makes my job easier because I'm disputing. So if I'm disputing, you know what I mean, like knocking out these negative items and you are keeping those balances low and paying on time, we smooth. Like, we have no issues. But that's not always the case, unfortunately.
Okay. Robin, should you pay collection accounts?
So the short answer, I would not pay a collection account if it was listed on my reports. So if your collection is valid across the board, you know, then of course that's something that you definitely want to take care of. But it is better for you to pay a collection once it's removed from your reports. If you pay a collection while it's listed, you're basically just resetting that debt. And for a lot of folks, they don't know if their debt is expired or not. And so if you pay an expired collection, this is when, you know, that company actually has rights to sue you. So if you never pay it, it's just going to sit dormant. But there's obviously a lot of parameters to that. I do believe in asking a lot of questions as far as, you know, is this actually my debt? You know, once our original creditors write off our debts, they're sold to collection agencies. So those collection agencies would then contact you because they have purchased a bill of sale, and they now need you to help them come after you. So they're going to contact you and say, okay, hey, you know, this is an attempt to collect the debt, and they go through that whole spiel. They want you to verify your name, your address, you know, date of birth, social, last four of your social, all of these components, because they're trying to connect the dots to make sure this is your debt. So in turn, I feel as though it's better for you to ask those questions, what do they have on you in terms of this bill of sale? Because it's a lot of stuff that's sold. It doesn't mean that it belongs to you. And I hate for someone to give information for them to pretty much go ahead and fill that in. And now, yeah, they're going to pin this on you. So it's just not a good idea. I say strongly, pay collections once they've been disputed off your reports. That way it won't disrupt your scores.
Yeah. Okay. And Robin, what are some ways to build credit?
Some of the fastest ways to build credit, so let's just say, you know, someone who just virtually just has no credit, one of the things that they should do is to get a secure card. A secure card means that you are securing with your own funds. So I like to look at it like a prepaid card or a savings account with benefits. Because each time you use this card, it is the idea behind this is similar to a traditional card, traditional meaning, you know, that a bank actually issued you a limit. But you use that card same way you would, you know, you use it, you keep that balance under 30%, and again, you're showing your future creditors, I am responsible. You see this as a secured card. I kept my balance low. I paid back, you know, paid back the funds on time. And for a lot of secured cards, usually after about 5 to 6 months of on-time payments, they'll kind of convert it from a secure to unsecured. And that's really what you want to see happen. So that's one way to build. Another way would be is to piggyback off of someone that has excellent credit. So, you know, maybe you have a parent or a loved one that has a great account. It has no issues. You know, they've had this account for some time. If you are listed as an authorized user, all of that credit history that they have on that account now is reporting on your reports. So that is a great way to build. Yeah. But it's super important to always make sure that you're paying on time. I mean, across the board, there's no way around it. All it takes is one late payment. It's going to kill your scores. You know, and so this is important for folks that are trying to build. They just have to really understand, you know, you just have to really be mindful of what you're doing, you know, on a month-to-month basis. But, yeah, becoming an authorized user is a great way. Yeah. And then also, it's so important, like, if you are borrowing money, to make sure that you borrow what you can afford to pay back. So you don't want to go and begin borrowing money, you know, just to say that you've been approved, and then you can't pay it back in 30 days. So, you know, it's just, when I think of credit, I think I'm a little OCD in that matter, because I am just all over it. I know that there are so many things that happen. There's a lot of people that I've not only dealt with identity theft, but also dealing with mixed credit files. If you have a common name, you know what I mean? Like, there's a lot of reports that are kind of combined because your information is similar to someone else. You know, so it's just really important to always be mindful of what's going on with your report.
Yeah. What's the fastest way to deal?
Mm-hmm. Fastest way to improve credit is to pay down your credit cards. Point blank, period. Pay down those credit cards, you see your scores virtually improve overnight. Because our scores actually refresh in the moment that they're pulled. And that's just how that works. So if you're looking to get a quick boost on your scores, because maybe you're trying to go and purchase a car and, you know, you want to get the best interest rate, but your scores maybe aren't great and you have some credit card debt, pay down your credit card before, you know, applying for that car, because, I mean, your scores virtually will improve overnight. Yeah. And also, there's one thing that a lot of folks always seem to miss is our personal information. So our personal information is listed on all reports, and when each time you apply for, you know, for an extension of funds, they're going to put in application. There's a human error that, you know, that comes into play. And so if you look at your reports and you see your personal information, you may see that there's typos. You may see that there's variations to your name or variations to your address. All this stuff matters, because on our reports, everything that's on there is either going to help us or hurt us. And too much of, you know, one piece of information could really hurt us. So, I mean, I have just tested this theory over and over. Whenever I go after personal information, I've seen folks upwards of 15-20 point increase just by cleaning up your personal information. So that's just something that I swear by that. Go after it. Your future creditors are only going to want to see one name, one address, and phone number is optional. Yeah.
Should people pay cash for everything?
If you are a millionaire, yes. But no, if you pay cash for everything, there's no history showing of, you know, that you are worthy of credit, because, you know, you haven't proven that track record simply because you're paying cash for everything. I don't think that it's necessary to always use your credit. You know, I think it's important to use credit mindfully. I think it's important to use credit because you don't want your cards to close due to inactivity. But I do feel as though, just based on different purchases, people kind of plan out certain purchases. But I do think it's a great idea to use your credit just to show, you know, I purchased this, and you see that they've been on-time payments for X amount of months. You know, in order for you to, in my opinion, to truly build wealth, you need credit. You need to use other people's money, and that's just how it is.
Okay. You know. Can medical bills be removed?
Every day, all day. Yes, they can. Medical bills can be removed. And you know, for medical bills, really what happens is our, you know, medical facilities, your doctors, you know, after – I want to say about 90 days is when they actually send them to collections, or actually they're being sold for pennies on the dollar. Again, that's usually after 90 days. And a lot of times when you see them on your reports, you will see them listed without an original creditor's name. So you've got this medical debt, and in the comments section, it may show something related to medical, but not too much information. It just may say like a medical collection. But with that, the fact that there's no original creditor on there, it's pretty simple to remove, because without the original creditor's name, I don't know who this is, or, you know what I mean? Like, where does it actually come from? So for that, those are like pretty much what I call like a clean sweep. It's fairly easy to knock those off your report. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Anybody have any questions or comments, dial 516-531-9540 and press 1. Okay, I also want to ask you about a couple. Say there's a mm-hmm. couple, and one of them has good credit and the other one has bad credit.
Mm-hmm.
So when they are applying for loans or credit cards, how should they do that?
Well, I think as a couple, if one has good, one has bad, the one that has the better credit would, you know, it would be a good idea to add your spouse on, you know, one of your cards as an authorized user. That's number one. And I say that because, again, you know, the revolving debt is 30%. By doing that, that's going to open up more credit availability on your spouse's reports, which will drive up those scores. That's one way to do it. And so once you have more credit availability, your scores improve, and then you can kind of manipulate those scores, you know, those scores different. along with those reports. Depending on what's going on with the one that doesn't have the best credit, you know, they might want to consider credit repair. No. But who's to say what it is? But, yeah, that's the one thing that all couples should do. If one's credit profile is stronger than the other one, you definitely should add that spouse as an AU. Yeah.
Okay.
And then as far as –
comments
mm-hmm.
or questions? Dial 516-531-9540 and press 1.
Yeah, I have a question.
Okay.
Hello?
Go ahead.
Okay.
Hello?
I want to ask the young lady, do they put, like, if you don't pay your taxes, does that go on your credit report?
That is a great question. So, there is a new, pretty much there's a new model. And so I want to say about 2 years ago is when they pretty much stopped adding that on your report. Now, you will see that judgment on a consumer report, not a consumer, but it is a consumer report. You won't see that likely at this point on your credit report. But if you try, you know, let's say go to purchase a house or something, that tax debt will stop you because that judgment will appear. Yeah, but it's just you will no longer see it visible on your report.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I hope that answered that question. Yep.
I think so. I'll find out.
Yeah, you won't see it on your report. Now, you know, now I will say this. If you've never had that information disputed off your reports and you've seen it listed, if it's listed, it's because it was listed some time back. You know, but as of now, if you have, like, new tax debt, they won't list those on our credit reports any longer. Yeah, but they haven't filtered away from those that have met, if that makes sense.
Okay. How long can they keep an item on your credit report?
So it's suggested that it can last up to 10 years. But the crazy thing is, let's just say there is a collection account listed on your reports, and you know it's been on there for about 5-6 years. If that collector calls you, and you make arrangements to pay that debt, you're going to reset that debt, and it will last another 7 years. So each time you make a payment to a collection agency, it resets the debt to give them like the clock starts over for 7 years. But if you do nothing at all, like if you make no payments, you have no communication, then it should fall off in 7 years.
Okay, another question.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, after the 7 years and it stays on your credit report and you haven't even had any correspondence or any
mm-hmm.
contact with the collection agency, why is that?
Well, because I like to say that the credit bureaus are antiquated. They don't move, you know, they don't move as quickly as they should. You know, there are billions of credit reports. And even though this information should filter off, it just doesn't always. And I like to say that that's one of those human errors that comes to pass. But the sad reality is things that should happen, they don't always. So things like that would definitely be considered outdated information that completely needs to be disputed off your reports. And that's a great question because, I mean, I've seen it. I've seen thousands of reports where I'm looking at some things. I'm like, this is really old. Why is it still here? But if a collection agency sells it to another collection agency, then they like to kind of re-age the debt. So it's just these horrible games that they play that, you know, that ultimately hurt us. They don't care because we're just a number in their opinion, you know. So, again, that's why I stress it's really good idea to pay attention to your reports to see exactly what's going on.
Yes, I definitely need you.
Mm-hmm.
I think
I would love to help you. Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to let you help me, too, because I think I've even got something that's over 20-some years old.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I believe it. Yeah.
And like you say, they call me. I tell them, get
mm-hmm.
off my phone. Are you the person I had the debt with or something? Well, if you're not
right.
that person, I guess you can't talk to me.
Right, right. You know, and I understand that. And, you know, one thing that I always tell my clients when bill collectors should call, you ask for it in writing, because in writing it's going to tell a whole different story. And it will tell you if these debts have expired. You know, it will tell you how much information that they actually have. But, yeah, when a debt collector should call and they want you to verify your information, oh, I don't think so. We're not doing that one. Uh-uh. You know, you get those calls like verify your the last four of your social, verify your address. Why would I verify this if you are telling me that you have something that I need to pay? That just makes no sense. So, no, I don't. I enjoy politely harassing collection agencies for my clients. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I'm definitely going to.
Okay, go ahead.
No, I was just going to tell the young lady that I most definitely would be sharing my contact information, you know, if she should, if she's interested in having a consultation afterwards. Well, yeah.
Okay, because I was going to ask you, go ahead and share it now, and I'll ask you again later, just in case somebody missed it.
All righty. Yep, so the best way to reach me, my website is My Credit Life, and that's LYFE, so mycreditlife.com. And again, my name is Robin LaToya. I can be reached at 331-201-9881. This is the Social Coaching Credit Repair, and I urge you to Google me, take a look at our website, and really see what's going on, because we are helping quite a few folks.
Are there any other callers?
I guess they all got good credit. Stop lying. Talk to this woman while she's on the phone. You know the
okay,
deal.
Okay, any other callers? Hello?
Can you guys hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Go ahead.
Yeah, so I know me and my fiance, we have been, you know, really monitoring our credit, you know, very carefully. And, like, really looking to, you know, build our credit to eventually, you know, start our own businesses. One of the things we've been using is this, like, self-lender program. I guess, would you recommend those, and how beneficial are those in regards to growing your credit?
They do work. They do work because you are showing, you know, basically on-time payments. But, again, what I will say, I know that that is a source, but the number one way to build credit, you need revolving debt. I mean, because I've seen some of my clients that, you know, only go through self-lending, and then there are some that only get secured cards. Their scores build faster. The ones that have secured cards, the ones that start with that, you know, if you have, you know, traditional cards, and that's fine, then just pay down your debt. You're going to see your scores improve. But if you're in the process, like you said, with self-lending, if I were you, I would get a credit card. Your scores will improve much quicker.
Okay. And then I guess my second question would be, when you're looking at credit cards to get, you know, we both have a credit card that we both have our own credit cards. I guess one of the things that we really want to get into is, like, getting credit cards with perks, like, for example, like with mileage or cash back or whatever the case may be. I guess when you're applying for those types of credit cards, what type of condition would you say your credit score needs to be able to apply for those to have a positive chance of being successful? Because obviously you don't want to apply and get denied and still take that knock on your credit.
Right. First off, that is an excellent question. And so what you're asking me is what I like to consider second-tier credit. So one of the things that you have to do is, first off, pay attention to the type of accounts that you have. If you have accounts that are associated with hard money lenders, even if you're paying on time and you're keeping your utilization low, your scores are still going to be generally lower simply because of the type of credit cards that you have. And so when you're going to and wanting to obtain, you know, let's just say, for example, like an American Express or, you know, something to that nature that has really good perks, it's much more difficult for you to obtain those cards because of the hard money lenders that I listed. Hard money lenders are usually cards that are like retail cards. You should stay away from them. But in terms of like trying to obtain cards that have a lot of perks, you've got to make sure that you don't have any late payments within like the past 24 months, because what we're doing over the past 24 months is what your creditors are really focusing on. But if you have excellent credit and you know that there's no issues, then yeah, by all means, I would suggest at least applying. If you haven't applied in a while, then you can comfortably apply for 2 credit cards in 1 month, comfortably. Absolutely. Of course, I'm just saying that loosely. I don't know how many cards you have or, you know, anything like that, but if you haven't applied in some time, then you're comfortable with doing that. But I would just say, you know, do some research and see what type of cards you're looking for. So there's some fantastic cards out here. And for me, I personally don't want to use credit, but I have no choice. In order for me to keep my scores where they are, then I have to play the credit game. That means you got to use your credit. And I pretty much filter all of my bills through my credit cards, because that is the safest way for me to use my cards and know that I'm going to pay them back every month. You know what I mean? So I'm able to get perks through American Express, perks through Discover. These are like cards that give you money back, cards that you can use to travel and all these great things, simply with bills that you're paying for anyway. So why not get credit for it? So I hope
that
makes sense.
That's it. That makes sense.
Are there any other callers?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Any more questions?
Someone call.
Okay, Robin, I wanted to ask you about, I heard you mention the like using like 30% or below the credit card
mm-hmm.
on your credit card balance. What is that all about?
Mm-hmm.
Because most people probably don't know this.
Yeah, so let's just use like $200 for an example. If you have a credit card that has a credit limit of $200, that means you don't want to spend $1 over 60. So 30% is $30 for every 100. If you exceed by $1, it's going to lower your scores. And that's just it in a nutshell. So no matter what, if you have a card that's $200, then that in your mind you should think, I only have $60 to spend. And that should be the rule, because if you go over, your scores are going to drop. And there's just, it's no easy way to say it. And unfortunately, I have to tell this to my clients every day. You know, I get fussed at, you know, but it's true. You know, you just have to make sure that you maintain that balance. And that is, you know, part of those 5 components that make up our scores. That 30% is so, so important. You know, so just if you got $200, that means you technically only have 60. If you go over, your scores are going to drop. Now, the credit bureaus are watching everything we do. So if you have an emergency, let's say you have an emergency and you need to use this $200, that is not going to penalize you for life if you pay this back and then you're always consistent staying 30%. But if you always have emergencies and you always have, you know, where you're having to max it and pay it right back, then you're flagged. And so if you read your reports, it will show you that you have a credit limit, you have a credit balance, and you have a high limit. So that high limit means, you know, the most you have ever spent on this card is going to be calculated, and it goes against us. So rule of thumb, stay low.
Okay. Are there any other callers or anybody that has a question or a comment? Is there anybody else with a question or comment?
Hello. Yes.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi. Yes. So I have a question. On my credit report, I have one negative item,
mm-hmm.
and it happened like a year and a half ago.
Okay.
And so I actually wanted to apply for a credit card. And I was going to dispute the item. I haven't disputed it yet. But someone
mm-hmm.
told me, like, if you're in disputing in the process, if I do that, that I could get denied for the credit card. So does that have an impact on getting denied?
Well, that's not entirely true. And I say that because I dispute for my clients all the time, like every month if there's some issues. And with that being said, depending on what's going on with their reports, if they need additional credit, I will urge them to apply. So that's not the case. That really takes into account if you are looking to purchase a house, our lenders don't want to see in the comment section that, you know, a particular account is in dispute. You're not being penalized because you are disputing, because you have every right to dispute. Like, by law, we have a right to dispute something that is inconsistent. So, you know, a credit card company won't say, well, because this is in dispute, we're going, you know what I mean? Like, that just doesn't happen. But, again, that rule generally applies for our lenders when you're looking to purchase a house. And also, just to let you know, and I don't know how you choose to dispute, but one thing that you don't want to do is dispute online. If I were you, I'd stay far away from that. Please don't dispute online, because you are giving up a lot of your own terms and conditions as a consumer if you choose to go that route. So if you are going to dispute on your own, then do it the way that work the way the bureaus work. They are antiquated. Send that letter. And, you know, when I say send that letter, you should be looking for something that is not consistent with other information on your report. Your challenge really should be focused on the status as to how it's listed on your report. There are folks that say, oh, just say it's not yours, you'll be fine. Some people, what I like to say, that's like the luck of the draw. You're rolling the dice. If you say something isn't yours and it comes back that it is and it's removed, it's only going to come right back. So, you know, just dispute properly. You're looking at something, and if it truly doesn't make sense to you, then you're going after that status, and that's really how disputes should be done.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. You're very welcome.
5240, you're next. You have a comment or a question? Hello?
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 Hello, go ahead.
Hello.
We can hear you. We can hear you. Go ahead.
Oh, yes. I wanted to ask if I pay on my two credit cards, if I pay twice a month, is that a good thing? Or I'm just paying it off too fast?
Well, that's really a great question. So here's the thing. Depending on the financial institution. So first off, if you pay it twice a month, that doesn't mean that they are going to calculate two payments in one month. I've been seeing some crazy myths all over the internet, and that's just not the case. But there are some financial institutions where you could be paying too fast. Like, if you pay too fast, they are not calculating your activity. So that can actually hurt you. You know, so I am a firm believer. I don't like to carry debt, and I want to pay it off. But if you pay it off too soon, it can technically hurt you. And that sounds crazy to say, but it's true. Yeah. But if you are just saying, you know, I got this debt and I'm trying to knock it out, then I get it. And if it means that you need to make two payments just to pay it down, then absolutely, I would do that. Absolutely.
Yeah, because at this time, I'm just trying to have more money coming in and going out. You know, I'm just trying to, you know, not okay, I just want to know because, you know, I just like paying it off. Okay, thank you. I appreciate that.
Yes, you're very welcome.
$65.98, your own. Do you have a question or a comment? 6598?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Can you hear me?
Go ahead. Yes.
Okay. I think I have several questions. But my first question is, how does one know what software that a credit agency is using? For example, I have heard that in speaking to different agencies that deal with credit, that they say that the credit agencies like Equifax, TransUnion, and Experian use different software and how they calculate your credit scores.
It sounds like you're referring to not necessarily the software, but you're referring to the scoring model.
Yes.
Okay. So that is a great question. And truth be told, it's almost impossible for you to truly know. But with that being said, so let's just say you are going to, you know, apply for a credit card. Most and I'm saying this just that most of the creditors are still using FICO 8. Now, FICO 10 is available, and it comes with its own different regulations similar to FICO 8, but most of them are still using FICO 8. And no matter what, I will say this, no matter what scoring model, if you're following the three golden rules, you know, one particular thing that you're making on-time payments and that you, that your utilization is low and you're not applying for too much credit, no matter what scoring model they're using, you will be fine. Because a lot of these models, like some models are more lenient if you have medical bills, and some are more lenient, you know, for judgments that may have appeared in your reports. But no matter what, that rule of thumb, keep your balances low, pay on time, and don't open up more credit than you need. No matter what scoring model, you are going to be fine.
Okay. And my second question is, because I know I've been a student, and I know that there are a lot of students out here with a lot of debt, and I was trying to find out, because I know on credit on credit reports, how are they really looking at our student debt? Because it seems that on some people's reports that I have seen before, and these are personal friends, that their debt has not is not really showing up on their credit report, but then on others, it is. And how is that student debt really being calculated into their credit score? Because I'm like, because if a person goes to school for a long time, for example, like they go to graduate school, but then someone only goes to junior college and just gets a, you know, a minor degree, I'm like, what? How is that affecting our credit?
Well, again, I think that's a fantastic question. And student loans are, truth be told, they are brutal. They are brutal across the board because a few things happen. For folks that have gone to school, you know, and like you said, have gone through graduate, that means that, you know, for a lot of folks, you have to get quite a few loans. And so throughout the course of your time in school, you know, 1 year you get them, another year you get them. So all this, these loans are accumulating. Now, let's just say that, you know, your loans are no longer in deferment. You know, you've graduated and they're no longer in deferment. 6 months later, you are supposed to pay. If that doesn't happen, then they're going to report your loan being late. The thing is, they're not going to just hit one. They're hitting all of them at the same time. You did acquire all these loans at the same time. So clearly, you know, you now have like 15 late across the board. It's going to kill your scores. So that's one thing. But also, throughout that course of you being in school, these loans are bought and sold all the time. So when this happens, you now have the original credit that's listed, and you have the old one. So your debt appears though you owe more than you actually do. And I see that a lot with student loans. If you really pay attention to your credit reports, if you look in that comment section, it will show that it is transferred or sold. But that debt still has a value, and that value is going against that credit score algorithm, which is hurting your scores. And it or it is being calculated along with it to suggest that you owe more than you actually owe. So student loans are really interesting, and they're sold, you know, to commercial lenders all the time, from Navient to NowNet. I mean, they start with U.S. Department, and they're all over the place. And all this information is reported across the board, and it definitely can do damage.
Okay. So is it basically the okay, I know that there is an amount, you know, say, for example, like for each loan that a person takes out every year as far as the loan is concerned, but is the interest what's really hurting it, or is it just the whole interest and the payment as a whole?
Interest on student loans are really high. I want to say, if I'm not mistaken, it's like about $2.30 per day. So it really is. It's insane. And the interest will get you. You know, it will. And it's sad, but it's true. There are things you can do. You can consolidate. That would help, you know, say where you're paying one place and you're also kind of cut that interest. But there's no way around it. Your student loans, just to clearly answer your question, it is being calculated, you know, as far as your debt to income, your debt to ratio. It is absolutely being counted. You know, what if that's all that you have on your reports, just student loans, and then you go to try to apply, you know, for a home loan? You're looking at that debt to say, okay, well, you have this debt, and based on what I'm seeing, you owe, you know, $70,000-$80,000 that you have to now pay back over the next 20 or 30 years, but you also now have to take into consideration your home loan. So you're going to get a lot less on that loan because of those student loans. Yeah,
okay.
So the good thing is student loans are disputable just like everything else. So, yeah, a lot of this information, it just it makes no sense to have it visible on your report. You know, I wouldn't want someone to get in over their head because they've removed those student loans so it's not visible, but then, you know, you pick up a loan that you can't, you know, can't balance.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, I mean, just to say, those loans do not have to remain on your reports. And they definitely, once they've been transferred, I would say get rid of the ones that's transferred because they are being calculated.
Okay. I know before you leave out here today, you need to give your number so people can call you.
Yes, ma'am. Absolutely.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
You're very welcome.
1-852, do you have a question or a comment?
No. 1-8-7. Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, I can hear you.
Oh, okay. Well, I don't really have a question. I just have a comment, statement. I have your services. My name is Melody, and I have your services. And I have to tell the people that's listening that she is really good and efficient.
Thank you.
Because my credit was really, really bad. I mean, it's not good, but it's a lot better than it was. And she has taught me what to do and what not to do, like, and how to spend. Like, I don't need to go over certain percentages on your credit card because I did, and I know it's a big drop. So that taught me a lesson right there that I actually need to listen to her.
Isn't it interesting just how fast they can drop? Yeah.
Oh, yes, like, yes. And it's not like 1 or 2 points. It'll drop it. It'll be like a nice, sufficient amount that they'll drop. And then you have to work your way back up. So, it's all a learning process. You just have to learn to stay disciplined. And you're very good at helping people stay disciplined. And so I just want to tell people that she's really good. You need to get her number. She's really good.
I appreciate you. Thank you so much for that.
Oh, you're welcome.
6120, you're next. Do you have a question or a comment?
Hello?
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 Yes, I have a comment and a question.
Okay. Okay.
Yes. So the comment is considering the amount of furor going on with your guests tonight and the questions that your listeners have, I think that's definitely an indictment of the public education system. But my question is this. So I have a couple creditors that I swindled out of some money about 3 years ago, and they haven't reported it on my credit report, and I check it like once a month. So my question is, do I need to pay them back if they put the sweat game on me or just keep ignoring them?
So let me be clear. You said that you did what with this money? You swindled somebody out of money, and now you want to know should you pay them?
Well, I finessed them out of some money. They gave me some money, some creditors, but I never paid them back. I mean, I could have easily paid them off, but if they're not reporting on the credit to the credit bureaus, I don't see the point in paying them off. So I'm trying to figure out, should I pay them off if they reach out to me or not even worry about it?
Well, so definitely one thing I just want to say, credit repair isn't a process of just really trying to get people to not pay their debt. So that's definitely not what it is. You know, it really is a matter of if there's some things that are inconsistent on your reports, this is what you go after. What I would suggest that you do, if you aren't seeing them, I'm not sure what, source you're looking at to see whether they are there or not, but you might want to go ahead and get your annual credit report. That will give you a complete view of what's on your reports because, again, you may think it's not there, and it could possibly be.
Okay, well, I just checked two sources, one with my bank and one with Credit Karma, and neither one of them have any negative remarks on it. So, the credit rating, my credit score is still high, so I don't know. I'm like, why should I?
Well, so just know that Credit Karma is just a snapshot of your reports. It's not giving you your full reports. And usually banks are going, they're looking at, overall, they're looking at your TransUnion, like the cumulative score. And, again, you're not seeing the full report. If I were you, just so you can make sure that there's nothing being reported, you should take a look at your annual credit report. And, really, it will just give you a full, release of what's going on.
Okay, then.
That's my advice to that. Okay.
Okay, thank you very much.
It's
a beautiful guest tonight, Michonne, just so you know.
Thank you. Okay, Robin, is there anything else that we should know about credit that I might have missed a question or something that my audience and I should know about?
All I would say is that credit is a beautiful tool when we use it properly. It can be our best friend. It is. This is the best way to build wealth, again, by using other people's money. But, again, I stress it's all in how you use it. It's just about being disciplined and, wanting to get to a next stage in your life. Because for a lot of people, they didn't understand, what credit really means. And so once you get it, it's like, once I'm good, I want to stay good. I want to be great, and it's so possible. But just also know that anything that is listed on our report is absolutely disputable, from bankruptcies, student loans, late payments, charge-offs, no matter what it is that's plaguing our reports, you have every right to dispute this information from your report. And if there are collections accounts in particular, again, I will stress, it is better for you to dispute these accounts from your reports, pay them, what I like to say, pay them on the back end, pay them once they've been removed, that way it will have no effect. If these accounts have expired, then you go on with life, because if you pay them, they will kind of wake up. It's like what I call like a zombie debt. If you wake the zombie debt up, it'll come after you. That's the same concept, of an expired debt. But with that being said, if there are folks out there that want to schedule a consultation, consultations are absolutely free. If you want me to take a look at your reports and give you, an overview of my findings to let you know the best steps that you should take to get you out of, whatever situation that you're in, I would love to hear from you. Again, my website is mycreditlife.com, and my phone number is 331-201-9881.
Okay, I have 6598. Do you have a question or comment? Six, five, nine, eight.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Go ahead.
I have another question. This is regarding the gentleman who just spoke about the Credit Karma. And I was listening to what you said, Robin, about the snapshot. I understand exactly what he is saying about the Credit Karma and things like that, because they make your credit score look really great online. But if you don't go on and check your actual credit report from the three major credit agencies, you're going to be thinking that you have good credit, and it's going to be a totally different story. I have found that out, me personally and other people that I do know, and I had to actually go and tell them this also, because I had hired an attorney regarding, my credit report, because, they said that to help you, restore your credit. People, be careful, because everybody out here is not going to help you get your credit score up. I was with them for about 3 or 4 months, and nothing changed. So I'm just saying, be very careful out here, because there are a lot of attorney and law firms out here who are stating that they can get things off your credit report, and you have to understand that it is very time-consuming in a person getting back to where a good score is once you've gotten down. I'm not saying it's not possible, but the thing is that they need to be very wary of those type of websites, because they're making it seem like you have the greatest credit in the world. And the thing is that when you go check it against the actual three credit bureaus, totally different story. Totally different.
Right. Yeah. They, it is truly a snapshot, and a lot of the times when you're looking at the scores, they are more for educational purposes. So I definitely wouldn't take that information to be true. Now, you will receive, you know, some alerts and different things like that, so I definitely grant it, but it's just always a good idea to just make sure you're pulling your reports, you know, so you can get the correct information.
Yeah.
Okay, 5073, you have a question or comment?
Yes, I do. Okay, I was going to ask her. Bill, move. You're too close. What about those, I get calls from people. I used to get these calls. They would call and say, oh, we can help you settle your debt. That I guess they have access to your credit report before they – you even ask somebody, well, I can get your it cleaned up, and I can get you pennies on a dollar. How do you feel about those people?
It sounds like you're referring to debt consolidation. Is that pretty much what it is? Because it basically what they are doing, what they'll tell you is, you know, you don't have to worry about paying, you know, your credit cards. What you'll be doing is paying into them almost like an escrow, and then they would, you know, kind of divvy the money out to your creditors. But what they aren't telling you is that each month that you are paying your cards, you are going to be hit with late payments. And, you know, so they're telling you, no, no, we can work with the, you know, with their creditors. It's all good. It is killing your scores. It is absolutely killing your scores, because every month that you don't pay, those cards are going to report late every single month. It is just, it's, I definitely do not suggest my clients to go that route. You have so many different options. And also, you mentioned that they are able to kind of review your reports, and that's why they contact you. You are right about that, because as long as you are considered opt-in, they can do a soft pull on your reports, because the credit bureaus are selling our information, you know, to everyone pretty much. So they're selling our information, so you've got all these folks taking a look at your reports and trying to figure out what's going on with you. Do you need debt consolidation? You know, do you need more credit cards? That's where we're getting a lot of those pre-screen offers, because these folks are looking at our reports without our consent. And your consent is you didn't opt out. And to do that, that information is actually housed on your credit report.
You know what? I had Capital One call me and said something about my credit cards. And I said, get off my phone. I don't even have a Capital One credit card. And see, they do stupid stuff. And I'd like to discuss your next monthly payment. I said, I guess it's going to be paid by you, because I still don't have a credit card with you. I'm trying not to do credit cards. I only have one credit card that I got through my credit union. That's the only one I got right now. But I will say, anybody listening, please use this young lady. Do not deal with Lexington Law.
I don't know what they're doing.
I told them I tried them for about 3 months, and what they did for me, I could have done for myself.
Oh no! I've heard some war stories. I would never talk against any company, but I will say this. We do get quite a few clients that have come from Lexington, unfortunately, and yeah, they all didn't have the best stories. I mean, it just depends on where your comfort level is.
No, I think they're just a rip-off. They rip off artists.
Yeah,
because my daughter was on the phone with me one day when I was talking to them when I first decided, well, I'll try this one. And she said she would like to do it, but she didn't tell them she wanted to do it right then and there. Don't you know they took money out of my account for her.
Oh, no.
Because she was on my phone call, and I told them, you know, I'm real good friends with the state's attorney in my city.
Mm-hmm.
If my money is not back in my account, I'm taking you to court. They put my money back, and then I just dropped them.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's terrible. That's terrible. Well, I hate to hear that experience. But yeah, that I do hate to hear that.
Yeah, I will be contacting you on Friday.
Yes, ma'am. I look forward to speaking with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
What are your hours?
My hours are 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturday. It's just
Now, the
time.
Most important thing is what's your fee?
It's $89 to get started, and it's $99 on a month-to-month basis.
Okay.
So it's just that simple. Yes, ma'am. There is no hidden fees. We work very transparent. And anything that I tell you that I'm going to do, I'm not just telling you, but you also see it in writing. So every account that is in dispute, you receive notifications. I think it's super important to make sure that my clients are part of the process. And along with that, you have a client portal, so you can always log in 24/7, see exactly what's going on, you know, to see the progression from where you began and what's going on every 30 days. I think that is extremely important. So, yeah, that's what we're doing over here. But, yeah, like I said, there's no you're not under contract. You can cancel at will without any cancellation fees, and everything is straightforward around here.
Okay. And is
well,
it automatic
sure
withdrawal? Is that how you pay? You automatically get paid?
Yes, ma'am. So there are definitely different options. If you are on the month-to-month plan, then, again, like I said, you 89 gets this process started. That's your documentation and setup fee to get things going. 30 days later, if you're on a month-to-month, then it's auto-draft, so you wouldn't have to call in or worry about calling in. Of course, you'll get an invoice reminder just to let you know that draft date, you know, every 30 days. But, yeah, this process is smooth sailing. Like, every 30 days, once you've made that payment, you got more disputes going right out to not only the bureaus, but also your creditors that are listed.
Okay.
Robin, please give them your information real quick because the show is almost ended. And I want to thank you for being on my show. And
You're
I
so
do
welcome.
Use Robin. So that's one of the reasons
yes.
she's on there. She's actually great at what she does.
Thank you. I truly appreciate that. Once again, our website is mycreditlife.com. So it's mycreditlife, life with an Y, L-Y-F-E. And I can be reached at 331-201-9881. Once again, my hours are 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays.
Thank you so much, Robin.
I appreciate you for having me on. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I'll be giving you a call tomorrow just to bug you.
Okay, call me. I'll be waiting on the call.
I sure
thank
will.
You.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
You will not be able to stay home, brother. You will not be able to plug in, turn on, and cop out. You will not be able to lose yourself on Skag and skip out for beer during commercials because the revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by Xerox in four parts without commercial interruptions. The revolution will not show you pictures of Nixon blowing a bugle and leading a charge by John Mitchell, General Abrams, and Spiro Agnew to eat hog maws confiscated from a Harlem sanctuary. The revolution will not be televised. The revolution will not be brought to you by the Schaefer Award Theater and will not star Natalie Woods and Steve McQueen or Bullwinkle and Julia.